Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently.
Today, we are joined by Tejiba Sinathamby as part of our Going Solo series about lawyers who have made the leap and opened their own law firm. Tejiba is the principal lawyer of TSJ Law, a boutique family law and estates firm located in Oakville, Ontario. Tejiba works extensively with women who have experienced gender-based violence. She is a part-time staff lawyer at Luke's Place and volunteers regularly with the Women's Center of Halton. We are so grateful to have Tejiba on the podcast today. So we would love to hear a bit more about how your career has evolved over time and how you've gotten to where you are today.
Sure. So when I first got called to the bar, I was terrified of becoming a lawyer. And so I decided to work in a non-legal sort of legal setting, which I know does not make sense, but I was working at the Law Foundation of Ontario as a grants officer. And so part of my job was to administer, the Access to Justice Fund and oversee grants sort of across Canada for, organizations that were working in the justice sector doing really, really great projects. And then after doing that, I started to feel like, oh, you know what, maybe I do miss the practice of law. And so I was, part of what I was doing while I was working at the Law Foundation was freelance legal services for other lawyers. So usually small firms to mid would contract out, legal drafting, research, and all that other stuff to me. And so my skills were still fresh, but I wasn't doing like the court appearances or anything like that. And then I think I just got the itch for like, you know what, maybe I should sort of do this on my own. Right. And so that's kind of what led me into becoming a solo and then with a nicely timed mat leave.
No, that's so interesting, Tejiba. So what really like led you to starting this path in law? Like what was your sort of motivation for going to law school? How did that all come to be?
Yeah. So I think, ever since I could remember, I've always wanted to be a lawyer. Dealing sort of in the community that I grew up in, at least, you see a lot of inequities when it comes to, economic society and just the way that power and privilege sort of operate. Right. So I grew up in Scarborough and you sort of see, people in sort of various life circumstances, right? And I think that really pushed me to pursue law as like a potential career option. And so I think for me though, like I really struggled with like, can I actually do something effective with law, right? Can I actually be a lawyer? Do I have what it takes to be a lawyer? So all of those sort of internal questions, were things that I was struggling with, right? So I applied to law school, got in, was really, really excited by it. Felt like, okay, yeah, this is the place that I wanted to be in. And you get to meet colleagues who are doing really, really exciting things. But I think I really struggled with like imposter syndrome, right? Like, throughout the whole process, right? Can I actually still do this, right? Like, what does it mean for me to take up space in this sector? Right. And I think we all struggle with it, right? Like sort of at various points in our careers. And I think for me, after I had my daughter was when I was like, okay, I don't want to be a traditional lawyer, right? But what does it look like for me to actually create my own space, right? Like, how does that sort of work with being a mom, right? Like, what does this actually look like, right? So I reached out to, like, a bunch of different lawyers and was just like, well, what are you doing, right? Like, how are you doing law differently, right? And sort of been speaking to, and the majority of the lawyers who I reached out to were all women, right? And so various sort of stages of their career, some were moms, some weren't, some were sort of closing in on retirement. And, a lot of them were just like, we don't want to tell you everything because you're not going to do it, right? So just take a risk and go do it. And I was like, what? Like, okay, I don't know the first thing about operating a business, right? But you know, I'm glad that I took the leap, and I don't think that I would have had I not had my daughter at the time that I did.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing. I often say, I don't think I would have gone solo if I wasn't starting like on the ground, because I didn't have a cushy job to take that leap from. It wasn't really like I was leaving a comfortable, well-paying job and then going solo. It was the middle of the pandemic. Hire back was not a thing. No one was hiring. So it was like, okay, do you stay unemployed living at home with your parents, or do you try this? Right. So it made that a lot easier than having to be like, okay, I have a nice job with pension or RSP matching or whatever, and now I'm just gonna like jump, right? So I think that sometimes having those sorts of circumstances can kind of help cushion the leap a little bit, so that it doesn't feel so scary. But when you were preparing to make that leap into going solo, what sorts of supports did you have when you were doing that?
I think for me it was just like, well, first of all, like in terms of like family support, I was lucky in that, you know, my partner has a full-time real job that makes money. And so I didn't have to necessarily worry about, am I going to be able to pay my bills in the same way that maybe someone else might not have had that luxury, right? And so for me, it was very much, you know, he sort of pushed me to say, you figure it out. I don't worry about the finances, right? So I started with like zero clients, you know, zero resources, $0, right, in my bank account, and was like, okay, like I guess we're gonna give this a go, right? But like in terms of just like what helped, I think again, having conversations with other women lawyers were really helpful, just in terms of like how do you actually or set your billing. Right? Like, what are the ranges of services that you're actually going to offer? And what does that look like for you? How much time is it actually going to take, right, to do maybe a separation agreement or a full litigation file? And how are you going to work that? I mean, for me, it was that consideration of, well, my daughter wasn't in daycare at that time, right? So she was, I think, I'm going to say like a year old when we decided to sort of like open up. And, you know, I wasn't spending money on like a traditional office. I was working from home and I was able to save in those ways. And you know, I had spoken to a lawyer who does estates law as well. And she was just like, I didn't have a physical office for 5 years, right? And it's not like I needed it. Or I felt like I needed to have a space. Like if I had to meet a client, I would just either, you know, go to them, or we'd meet at she had a lawyer friend who had a firm that she would, you know, go and do her client meetings for. Right. So like really changing the way that I thought about what a lawyer looks like and what kind of services they provide had really helped. Right. So I didn't feel that pressure of, oh, I need to get a firm or a physical space. You know, it's okay for me to like meet clients, you know, at this time or that time or whatever it is, and sort of being very clear about the parameters of what I was actually offering, I think really helped in terms of just, you know, because I think there's a pressure for new lawyers when they're starting out to accept every single file, right? It's business. Oh, I could really use that money, right? And like actually taking on things that you may not even know how to do. I mean, and that's not to say that you shouldn't do that kind of work. Like I remember sort of taking on a few family law files and I was like, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, but I'm just going to figure this shit out. Right. But in terms of like being a fish out of water, I think just like reframing like what it is that you're going to be, sort of offering and what you're capable of doing. I think that assessment needs to happen in advance.
Absolutely. So Tajiba, what types of services does your firm provide? What do you offer, and have those offerings changed over time since you've opened?
Yeah, so I do, so both family law and estates. In family law, it's mostly, you know, cohab agreements, separation agreements. I've got quite a bit of young couples who are coming to me for like marriage contracts and co-op agreements, which is really, really great to see, because I find that a lot of the younger generation is a bit more conscious of money in the way that maybe like our parents weren't, in terms of like getting married and all of that. So probably because we have like a shit ton of debt, right? You know, in the estate law context, I do quite a bit of like admin, planning, and then litigation. I really enjoy the estate planning side of things, especially again for younger couples who, you know, my age or a little bit older, maybe younger, that now have kids or are thinking of having kids, and like, well, what does that look like, right? Like who do we actually want to appoint as our executor or whatever it is? And then in addition to all of that, I still do the freelance services for other lawyers. So in the same practice areas, right? So often, you know, some lawyers will get clients who like really, really love working with them, but then they've got like a family law issue that has come up. And so they're like, well, we want to stick with you, right? So that lawyer will reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I really need your help with like, I don't know, this divorce or separation agreement or whatever it is. I want to be the lawyer on record, but can you shadow draft like all of the materials for me, right? So I'll do that. And honestly, it's great having lawyer clients. You're not, you know, in terms of just like instructions, it's okay, this is what I need, blah, blah, blah. You've, you know, agreed on the price, they will pay you. So you're not chasing after like funds, because you do get that occasionally with certain clients. So yeah, like that's sort of the range of services. Has the services changed? Not necessarily. I think I'm just more choosy about who I take on as a client now. I think in the beginning, like I said, there was a bit more pressure of like, oh, I should take on these files. And now I'm just like, you seem like trouble. I don't think so. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel that, especially during the first year of practice when I wasn't really busy. It was like, okay, well, what else am I doing? Like, of course, I'll help this person, even if they seem like there's like 20 red flags. What else am I going to be doing anyways?
Yeah, so exactly.
I would just take them on, and then it would just create tons of headaches down the line. Whereas now that I'm busy with other files, it's a lot easier to say, actually, no, I don't want to take on this headache because I already have enough work and enough things to do in my day. But when you first are getting started, like there's a lot of dead time that as you're building, that you kind of feel pressure into just taking whatever comes through the door, especially because you are relying on that as your income.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's interesting is I've found saying no has been very challenging for me, period. Right. So like even now that I have that ability to sort of filter clients and say no to a file and whatever it is, like I don't know if it's like a personality thing or whatever it is, but like, you know, when people come at you with like, oh, this is my situation, or especially in family law where like things might be urgent, right? And you really just don't have the capacity. You know, maybe that client needs handholding and whatever it is, and for whatever reason you're just not feeling up to it. Like saying no has been like such a challenge, right? Like how do you say no in like a diplomatic way, right? Like figuring all of that stuff, I think. Yeah, it's been a work in progress for me.
Well, I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one that struggles with that, especially as a solo. But you did mention, you know, our generation does have a lot of debt. So if you did have student debt or do have student debt, how did you manage to pay for it? And did that impact your decision at all on to going solo or when you went solo?
Yeah, I mean, I think so the debt was part of the reason why I struggled with going solo, because I was offered, you know, like a few really, really good opportunities in terms of like working at a firm, having benefits and all of the sort of nice stuff that comes with working in a traditional legal environment. But for me, you know, during the interview process, I was like, well, you know, are there options to work from home, right? Like if my toddler is sick, can I take, you know, the day off or whatever it is, right? And I got that sort of clear sense that we expect you to be here, you know, from whatever time to whatever time, right? And so I was like, well, that doesn't work for me at this stage of my life, right? I want that freedom to be able to take a day off if I need to, or do the daycare drop-offs and pickups, just because my husband works in healthcare too. So it's challenging, right? Like in terms of managing both of our schedules, right? And so while I was thinking about setting up my own practice, I was like, is this even smart considering I've got all this law school debt, right? And again, like just to go back to having sort of support, right? And so for me, it's carving out, you know, X dollar amount in my budget for debt repayment, right? And sort of being very aggressive about paying that down has been very helpful. But like, you know, initially it was just, I didn't really take home a profit. It was more just everything is going to like debt repayment, right? And then whatever sort of expenses that you might have in terms of operating your sort of virtual firm, right? And then the funny thing is like the pandemic happened and then all the firms were working remotely anyways. And I was like, well, I guess you guys did have that capacity to do it, right? You just didn't want to sort of accommodate at that time, right? So it was interesting, but...
That's so true. And what I personally find fascinating in just like logging onto LinkedIn and reading people's posts that I follow and are connected with is like, now as the world sort of returns to work, comes home from work, like depending on the state of the world that we're currently in, it's like organizations, I guess, choose not to be accommodating. And like, I have a few friends who their law firm or like the law firm they work at or the organization they work at has like forced them to come into work even throughout the pandemic. And the fact of the matter is like, if you truly were, this is maybe a bold leap, Piper, but bear with me. If you truly like were a business that had your shit together, your employees would be able to work from home. And like, if you trusted your employees, and valued them and like everything they bring to the table, your employees would be able to work from home. And that's my very strong opinion on the matter and not anything else. But I just think like we've seen that it's very possible, and people, for the most part, not everyone's situation is the same, but a large amount of people really enjoy working from home for the things it affords them being able to do. Like, I love being able to do a load of laundry in the middle of the day after like I get off a Zoom call and like before I hop on the next one. I don't have kids at home and I live alone, so that is like a privileged position in terms of like the focused space that I have to do work, and I recognize that. But yes, just when you're kind of remarking that like you had these other opportunities that you said no to in part because they weren't accommodating, the world needs to learn to be a little more accommodating, especially for all sorts of people, like persons with disabilities who would really benefit from remote work environments and so on and so forth. I just hope to see like our attitudes about work and like workplaces change a little bit. And like,
I think what's great to see is that people are really pushing back on what they want their sort of work life to look like. Right. I was talking to a friend of mine, and you know, her company had also given that pushback of like, hey, we need you to come into the office again, blah, blah, blah. And then the Omicron variant had sort of become popularized, and she was like, nope, not happening, forget about it, right? And but like being able to actually negotiate now and have your voices heard, I think is like, it's a lot more power, like, or employers are now considering a lot more than they used to, right? Whereas before it was like, you felt like you couldn't actually speak up and say, hey, no, this is the accommodation that I need, right? I don't know, at least I'm certainly seeing that shift. And then the other thing too is like, I love having that freedom of dictating my own schedule, right? And being able to go for a walk or like taking, you know, a break, or like, hey, you know what, like this matter that I had on Zoom court was really rough. Like, I need, you know, an hour to decompress or whatever it is. Like, whereas when you're in that sort of traditional work environment, you can't do that, right? It's like, okay, now this is done, and the next thing I've got to do, and oh no, like my boss is like on me for like whatever, you know, thing that you're supposed to turn in that day, or, you know, that kind of stuff, right? So yay to more freedom.
No, and so on in the same vein, Tajiba, how do you take care of your mental health? I guess by supporting yourself with that work-life balance, but then also, have you found health insurance that adequately supports you as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I haven't looked into health insurance. I do, so in my role at Luke's Place, I do have some really great, you know, wellness benefits and all that stuff. But like personally, as a solo, I haven't looked into it, which is something that is on my to-do list that I will eventually get to in 2022. But in terms of just making space and sort of, you know, prioritizing my mental health, I think like I said, saying no has been very empowering for me and sort of, I think just being upfront about what my boundaries are, right? So this is what I have the capacity for, you know, maybe it's again, saying no to files, right? So I don't have the capacity for this. I recognize that you need a lawyer who might be able to give you a bit more fulsome support than I can do at this time, sending them off to wherever. And then also just, I think for me, again, having my daughter has really helped put stops on time, right? So when she comes home from daycare, it's okay, it's mommy time, right? Like I'm shifting gears. I'm sort of off being a lawyer. And, you know, I really crave that time to just decompress, you know, find joy in things that, you know, kids find joy in, right? And then for me, it's like going to sleep when she does and really just we're done work at 5 o'clock. We're not touching anything. You know, does that mean that I'm waking up at like ungodly hours and working? Yes. Right. But then to be able to turn it off, I think has been really helpful.
Yeah. That's something that Piper and I are working on is the hard stop because it's really easy to just keep working into the night.
Who knew that the trick was having a kid, Erin? I think.
Oh my gosh!
Crack the code.
If you guys are in Oakville, you can have mine. She will force you to stop if she sees the laptop out. It's like, nope. She'll like literally sleep on my laptop, and it's just like, mummy, no work. Like, mummy, no work. Right?
How can you say no to that?
Like, and you can't, right? You can't. And you're just like, oh, but like 5 more minutes. And then so she has this toy that looks like a laptop too. And so she'll put on her like fake headset and then her laptop, right? And then she'll like work beside me and be like, look, mommy, I'm working too, but only 5 more minutes, okay? Like, you got it.
That's freaking adorable. Oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we just have to get kids, Piper. I guess that's just, they need to enforce boundaries on us. I think I like my sleep a lot though, so I don't know if I could do it.
Erin, don't talk. You're getting a dog in a month. So
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe the dog, that will help. I was thinking that that will help because the dog is going to have to go outside to pee. And if you don't take him, it's just going to pee on your floor. So you got to get up off your desk and get outside. So I'm hoping that that does kind of create some boundaries too.
Yes, for sure. And honestly, like getting outside and getting some fresh air, right? Like I find that like when you don't have other distractions, like a child or a puppy or whatever it is, are you even leaving your house? And like,
No, I am not.
No, right? Because you're just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to do all this work, right? But like being forced to like, okay, I've got to take the dog out for a walk, right? Or whatever it is, helps for sure.
Yeah, I literally sometimes just go get Starbucks just to literally leave the house. Because I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't left the house in 3 days. Like, there's nowhere for me to go. There's nothing for me to do. I work from here. This is where I live now. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, I'm starting to feel like crap. Maybe it's because I haven't breathed fresh air in 3 days. Maybe that has something to do with it. So yeah, hopefully the fresh air will help. So next question for you is just, you know, like a little small question. What is one thing that you wish you could change about the legal profession?
Oh my God, that's a small question.
Just one thing.
Just one thing? You don't want my list? No,
we'll take the list.
I think for me, the legal profession really needs to change the way that it treats women, right? Making space for women And women at various stages in their life, right? I remember for me going on mat leave and having to pay law society fees for what, right? Like, I am not contributing anything other than to have my name on the lawyer listing website thing, right? Like, why do I need to pay 25% of fees, right? So, like, I think that there are changes being made. But, like, just simple common sense things, like, what are we doing, right? And then also just supporting women who are coming back from mat leave. Like, again, these were things that I didn't even think of until I was actually in that situation, right? Or even like starting up your own solo practice, right? Like, how do you get clients, right? Especially when you may not have, you know, traditional supports, or you're not established in this profession, right? Like, where do you go to make money, right? And how do you get mentorship and all those other opportunities? Like, there were so many things that I struggled with. I mean, it was helpful in the sense of, like, I literally just, like, you know, randomly emailed like a bunch of people that I had seen on like Twitter and sort of various other like social media platforms, right? But like, but if I wasn't connected or I wasn't online, right, where would I go to sort of connect, right? And make connections and learn, okay, well, how is it that you run your practice? Like, maybe there are things that, you know, I can pick up tips wise or whatever it is. So I think, again, making space for women in the profession is like, hello, let's get there, right?
Tajiba, that's, Erin and I couldn't agree more. Like, I'm going to speak. Usually I go, I'm not going to speak for Erin.
No, speak.
I'm going to speak for Erin as well. Like, we have conversations about this all the time. And I think, Erin, don't be mad at me. I'm gonna advocate a little. I love to brag about my friends, especially Erin. And I think something that has been really interesting is just sort of what you were talking about advocating for women at all stages in their career in the legal profession specifically, because that's what we talk about on this podcast. But just like seeing Erin opening her own firm and going solo right after articling was just so incredible, and like at such an early stage in her career. And then we see other people go solo later in their career and gain so much like attention and notoriety. And it's still such a brave thing to do. But I think that sometimes like I have felt frustrated because I think we're not like lifting up the younger generation of like new calls. And like, Erin has had like a lot of people support her and like help her like with like private mentorship chats and things like that. But Erin has like grinded and hustled. Like,
yes.
Like she was just talking
on Instagram. I'm just like, how are you on top of all of this stuff? First of all, where do you find the time to do anything?
And my point is, and then maybe if Erin wants to say something or just wants to give me a sign to shut up. But my point is, it's like Erin has done this with like no capital, no like support from like any big names, no client list. And so it's not like going solo later in life is bad, but I'm just saying like, I would have loved to see people like publicly support Erin. And I think that's my frustration is that like, sometimes like when your friends do cool things, this is my experience. Like when your friends do cool things, like I just want to scream it from the rooftops, but my network, it's not a network of people who would hire Erin, like,
right.
My and Erin's friends from law school. Right. Yeah. And so I would have loved to see, especially when Erin launched her firm or like when she was like early promoting it, people who were more advanced in their careers being like, check out this awesome new call doing really cool things. And so I see what you're saying. Like, I think also when you're talking about paying law society fees on mat leave, that's just part of it. That's totally fucked.
That is straight up bananas.
Clearly I'm hyped up on this Sunday afternoon. Yeah. But
no, but honestly,
like, I just want to see people lift each other up. Yeah. And there isn't
100%. And there isn't like, it's crazy because I've seen the same things online, right? Like very established women lawyers getting all this hype. And that's not to say they haven't earned it, right? At their stage in their career, and like, kudos to you. But you've got that name recognition, right? Whereas like, I was a freaking nobody, right? Like, nobody knew who the hell I was, right? Erin, like, I'm sure you probably, you know, felt the same way, right?
And no, I'm a nobody. Then, yeah, don't worry.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to call you a nobody, but like,
you know, you could call me a nobody. You can call me a nobody.
But like, in the sense of like, but like, where was that? Hey, look, there's this young lawyer, you know, who just opened up her own practice. Let's support her, send her some business. Like, I had this conversation so many times with my husband, right? Like, just networking, grinding, like, hey, like, I am available. Like, let me, you know, help you on this file. I really, really want to learn. Like, you're eager and you really like we're good people. You want to make an impact. You want to do good stuff, but like, just not having that support in this community is frustrating. Right. Like, and so for me, it's just, if I know like a lawyer or a potential call to the bar is interested in setting up their own practice, I'm like, let me tell you everything that I know. Like, here are their spreadsheets. Like, this is what my prices are. You know, this is my precedent for blah, blah, blah. Like, I will set you up with whatever, because those are all the things that I wish that I had when I first started, right? Like, I wish someone had said, you know, for your year call, like, this is what your hourly rate should be. You know, you should join like this association. You should talk to this person for mentorship, or like whatever it is. You know, and so much of it is just like blindly figuring it out in the dark, right? Like, okay, like, yeah, you know, like, let me just send out this email and hope that someone responds, right? And even just getting files initially, right? Like, I didn't have a single referral. Like, nobody sent me anything, right? It was just me putting myself out there. And I'm such an introvert. Like, I, like, please, like, let me hide under a rock, right? Like, that is my personality. But like, to actually like force myself to like, hey, I'm here, I'm in this profession, I want to take up space too. Like, holy fuck. Like, sorry, but like, such a challenge, right? And so I feel you.
And just to
start a club or something. Like, a
just to tie it all together, I guess my point is like, it's not, I'm not angry. I'm really just trying to get across, like, there's room for everyone. There's room for everybody to win. Like, yeah. There's room for everybody to win. It doesn't have to be this competition. Like, you can support people while still having huge successes. And that's what I think I've seen lacking, is like, I think that it's possible for me to support someone, I'm not in a solo firm, but for me to support someone and for me to also have my own wins. And that's all I want to really see more of. And especially amongst women in the profession, like, of all stages in their career.
100%. And exactly that, right? There is enough room at the table for everybody, right? And I think for me, it's, I want to know what you're doing, because maybe there's something that I'm not doing that could help me too, right? And that's not to say that I'm trying to steal your clients or do whatever it is, but like, if something is really working for me, I want to share that with people, right? Just so that they can maybe find, you know, cut time, right? Or do something more efficiently or whatever it is, right? Like, for me, like, I suck at technology, but, you know, I've, you know, forced myself to like, get into it and learn about it and implement it in my own practice, which has made me a lot more efficient in terms of the stuff that I actually want to do, right? But like, I just feel like there's so much to learn from each other, and without having those collaborative spaces, like, I would love to know what, like, you know, whoever like 20-year call is doing setting up her own practice and getting all these clients. Like, how are you running your business, right? Like, how are you getting you know, all of these like sophisticated clients or whatever it is? Like, tell me your secrets. Because I think there's still enough space, right? Like, there's still enough space for all of us. But
thank you so much for sharing your perspective on that. I think there's a lot of things that can change in the legal profession, but having lawyers like yourself in it, I think, really helps continue to shape it for the better. So thank you so much for joining us today. But one of our favorite questions, well, it's a question we ask everyone is, what is something new that you've learned recently?
I think, like I said, sort of throughout this conversation, it's saying no, right? Saying no, being very strong in your boundaries, I think are sort of things that I've really learned and I'm trying to like implement in my own practice and just life, right? I think as women, we're often trained to be, insert all the words here, right? Like appeasing, understanding, compassionate, blah, blah, blah. And that's not to say that we shouldn't be all of those things, sure. But, you know, standing in your boundaries and, you know, this is not working for me in my life, I think is very important. And yeah, like work in progress, but definitely something new that I've learned to really adopt for this year, for sure.
Thank you so much, Tajiba. That's such an amazing reminder. And I think it's something that Erin and I too are both consistently trying to work on and strengthen. We are so grateful for you for coming on the podcast and for sharing your perspectives with us today. I know that Erin and I just like really enjoy soaking up like all of the stories from our guests, and today was no different. So thank you so, so much. To stay up to date with the podcast, you can follow us on Instagram at Off the Tracks Podcast, and stay tuned for our next Going Solo episode next Tuesday.